Good morning. Earlier this year, as Dee Dee said, I had the opportunity to attend a women's retreat. And this retreat was at the location where two of my children have attended for summer camps and ice camps. And I had heard all about this facility. I had seen photos of them doing lots of fun things. They had shared fun adventures. They had shared faith-building conversations. And so when I arrived at this camp and I explored the grounds, my heart was quite tender because I recognized from their descriptions and from the pictures where I was. And despite being in a different state several hours away, I felt very close to my children because they had been there in that very spot. As we walk this side of heaven in faith, it's very important for us to know that God has been there. It's important for us to remember that He has been wherever we are, He's been there already. And if we look at some of the signposts, remember some of the pictures from Scripture that He's given us, as we're traversing either the mountaintops, the valleys, or the wilderness, we can feel encouraged. We can feel close to God in moments because we know that we're in the exact spot that He has been. We can be reminded of His love and of an everlasting relationship. And those remembrances are very good. Because I didn't know anybody at that camp, but I felt near, close love. I was reminded of those who are dear and near to me. So I'm not sure where you are coming from today. I had a doctor appointment for my son. That was 8 o'clock, and I didn't get here until after 9. I don't know what has happened for you this morning. I don't know where the Lord has you this week or this year. But I know that you all have stories. And this morning and for the next 3 weeks, we are going to consider walking in wisdom, specifically the stories of wilderness. And we're going to consider how to walk that terrain with godly wisdom and not earthly, worldly, or personal wisdom. So part of our study is going to entail calling to mind specific wilderness moments. And I'm going to guide you through that. I'm going to give you considerations in between our weeks. This morning, I would like to share a little bit of a wilderness story from 2024. In January of last year, I went in for a routine mammogram, and a week later, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. So for the last 17 months, I have been going through and navigating cancer treatments, and I would never have chosen it, never desired it, even feared it. But on this side of it, I also wouldn't take it away. But it has been a wilderness. Because I've navigated it, doesn't mean that I'd be grateful for it. Right? You have experiences that you've gone through that you are not thankful for. We all do. The reason why I wouldn't change it and I wouldn't go back is because as I've navigated this specific terrain, I've seen God prove Himself. And that way that He has proven Himself is in His faithfulness, in His provision, in His love. He has proven Himself to be sufficient beyond my ability. Those are good things for me to see. And so we're going to talk about the wilderness. We're going to consider your wilderness. We're going to consider my wilderness. And for sure, cancer diagnosis and the subsequent treatments, they have been types of wildernesses. But you may not have the specific picture of cancer diagnosis. Your wilderness may not be a health issue. It might be something else. And so let's step out just briefly to consider what is wilderness. What does it look like? for me, it's good to go back and forth to example and real life. The wilderness has been rocky. It's been unsettling. To have health be an issue is quite humbling. It's also been lonely. Now, I have tremendous support. My medical team is superb. I have amazing community. I'm using church where people have tangibly cared for me and loved on my family. And my family has been incredible in their patience with my inability of things and their specific medical care for me. And yet, in the wilderness, just like this last year, there are times when nobody else can live or walk in that part of the wilderness except for yourself and the Lord. And in those moments, it's very lonely, even if you're in a crowd of support and if you are in a literal or figurative hug from a person. It can feel lonely. Wilderness is also dry, right? So it's rocky, it's unsettling, it is lonely, but it can also be dry. And I had the privilege of attending seminary, and I became quite accustomed to the scriptural buffets that are fed and prepared for us through professors and Bible study. And I would delve deeply into the feast that is scripture. But in 2024, I did not have an appetite for a buffet. I didn't have the digestive ability of a feast. And many times throughout last year, the most that I could stomach was a morsel. Food, but also scripture. So what do we do when we are accustomed to one spiritual nourishment and then we find ourselves not desiring it or not having the ability to take it in? Well, the Lord and his provision had prepared people to prepare bite-sized nuggets of nourishment for me. Figuratively, also food-wise too. But sometimes that bite size was all I could take in. And what began perhaps in the past of a little devotion book that would be on the top of the toilet tank because it's a quick read and it's not super deep was the depth of waters that I could navigate. But that was an encouragement. So you might find yourself in a dry land within your wilderness. Finally, the wilderness creates and introduces us to a specific type of prey, and I was vulnerable to it. It wasn't the wild beast type prey, but it was the prey of unbelief. And this is a dangerous prey. The danger of unbelief. So what I'm describing, though giving examples to the specific story of cancer, is something that I know every single one of you have experienced or maybe you're currently experiencing. And not it may not be in the past or present only, it will be in your future too. So let's consider where you've been and what we are to do with it. The wilderness is a place where our faith is tested. A place that is scary and full of dangers. It's a land of unbelief. It lacks sustaining nourishment for us. Can you envision the literal wildernesses and remember maybe some of those times for yourself? Wilderness in scripture symbolizes barrenness or hostility. It produces circumstances that test our faith. We're going to consider some examples in scripture throughout our summer study. The wilderness is certainly on the map, and it's something that we have to traverse. You might get stuck there, or you might make your way out of it. And for those of us who are in Christ, the wilderness on the map is a place that we navigate on our way to the promised land. The wilderness is a place of temptation, where we're tempted to live independently of God, to expedite his timing, to lay down our trust in God for trust in another. Satan does not care what you trust in, so long as it's not the living God. And so in the wilderness, he will work to have you trust in something other than him. Like I said, the wilderness is a place that all of us are going to travel, but ladies, not everyone is going to make it out with everlasting life. And so may it be so, may it be a prayer in our heart for ourselves and those that we love, that we can escape the wilderness with everlasting life. Like I said, I don't know where the Lord has you. I don't know where he's brought you specifically, but I do know that wilderness is part of your story. And so for today and the next 3 weeks, we're going to consider it. We're going to consider it specifically through Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Let's see if we can get this up. It may not work right now. Here we go. We'll make it work. It's fine. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Turn in your Bibles. We can look at it there. These verses offered for me a strategy on how to navigate the dry, lonely, and wearisome wilderness. But these verses did not just help me survive and navigate it, but in the midst of the wilderness, these verses allowed me the opportunity experience of hope and peace, and dare I even say joy. Joy in the wilderness. So, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it. In 2024, it was hard. It continues to be hard. I'm not minimizing how difficult wilderness is. It's very hard, but joy is possible, and that's because of the miraculous work of Jesus. So hold me accountable throughout our weeks, and if at the end of this I haven't introduced or exposed the possibility and how we can get there, chat with me after. But it's possible. We see it all throughout Scripture. When I did not know what to do last year, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 provided a drumbeat. And so, we're going to say it out loud together, and then we'll break it down. All right, so we can start. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. I knew last year that this was a non-negotiable. Right? As a child of God, I knew I had to choose to trust in the Lord. And then any accusations or lies about who God is had to be immediately flushed. And then I had to replace them with truth, with what Scripture says and testifies about who God is. Right? Trust in the Lord. I had to remind myself and oftentimes admonish myself in the second part of that, to not lean on my own understanding, to not seek out peace through my full grasp of something. Because there are some things in life and there are some things in the wilderness that we cannot comprehend. And then in all my ways, in any given moment, I needed to work to acknowledge God. But as we took these steps, as Scripture allowed, I had joy. Not jumping up and down, I'm so excited for this moment joy, but a joy in the Lord. I would love to teach you this summer some of what God has taught me. And so we're pray for me throughout the summer that I'm able to articulate some of it. And then pray for your hearts to be able to receive it as well. How do we have hope and joy in the wilderness moments? How do we acknowledge God in all of our ways? We're going to work toward that. So critical for me and for you and your resolve of having Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 immediate was having it immediately accessible. So in any given moment of worry or confusion or uncertainty, there was something that I knew. There was something that I could do. And that was the charge that Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 provided. I knew I had to trust in the Lord. I knew I needed to rely on Him. I knew I needed to not rely on my own understanding. And I knew in that moment I had to figure out, where is God right now? Amazing. In the midst of confusion and not knowing what to do, I now have certainty and resolve. I have something that I can do. That gives some agency. It gives us stability in the midst of even rocky and uncertain terrain. Those were things that I was sure of, and so I tried. But in the weariness and the wilderness fog, I would not have had that certainty. I would not have known what to do if those verses had not previously been memorized, because those verses became top of mind. And so I'm going to encourage you this summer to memorize these verses. If you've already memorized them, we'll get there. But how do we memorize Scripture? Right now, my memory is atrocious. It could be because of age. It could be because of side effects. It could be because of stress. But I need help on how to memorize. And maybe some of you are the way. So there are different types of learners. Some of us are visual learners. We need to see it. So how can you see it? Where can you place these verses? Maybe it's a stanza, not the full verse, but where can you place it so that you see it on a daily basis? Consider that. Can you write them down on a piece of paper? Can it be in your car? Can you write them with the expo markers on your mirror or on a dry erase board? Maybe you can type them out, or maybe they can be a screen saver or a home screen. Where can you see them? For artists, maybe you're going to make a canvas or a pretty print. Just consider, where can you place this in your life so that you're seeing it? For those of us, some of us are auditory learners, so listen to it. Maybe you say it out loud. Maybe you're going to do a voice memo. Maybe you can listen to a person with an amazing accent on your phone say it over and over again, because that's how it's going to get stuck. We need to learn the words in memorization. That's the first part. But the second part of memorization is understanding what the words mean. We can memorize words but not understand what they mean, and then it makes it difficult later on to apply. So how do we understand what they mean? Over and over and over again, meditate on them. If you're the visual learner, say, read it. If you're the auditory learner, listen, say it. Over and over again. And then be curious. Wonder, what do these words mean?